name's Geraldine. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Geraldine.
Good morning. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And I'm going to read a bit from the big book from page 84. And it's about just nearly halfway down the page. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as it cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment and fear. And when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And for me, my step 10 is something I do. I used to say I'd do it every night, but I do it every day. And sometimes I do it in the daytime if something crops up for me. It's an extension of my step 4. My step 4 was my big house cleaning, and my step 10 is to make sure that I stay on top of the house cleaning. And I share my step 10 with someone every day, first thing in the morning. And at night, or during the daytime, I look at those columns that are suggested in the big book. And I look at, you know, I'm resentful at the cause, what does it affect, if it affects my, you know, my self-esteem, my fear, my security, my pocketbook. I look at the person I've harmed. I look at my mistake in this, and what have I been? Have I been selfish? Have I been self-seeking, and have I been dishonest? And I also look at my fear, because fear comes up for me a lot in my step 10. I'm frightened of, why am I frightened? And also to look at as well, to go on to look at gratitude. Because I think that, yes, I've got the resentment, but also I think it's good for me to look at my gratitude, and I write down at least 10 things I'm grateful for every day. So let me just go back now to my resentment. And I remember when I first did this, someone said to me, even if you have a fleeting thought about something, get it down on paper, because my disease starts in my head. It doesn't start when I start having a conversation with someone. It's in my head. So I start to write down what that thought is and what that resentment is. And just lately, I've had quite a lot going on for me, and I've had huge resentments around organisations and various individuals, and I've had to be really working this step 10 every single day. And sometimes I'm doing it twice a day as well, in the morning and the evening. In addition to that, I've been away from home for a week, so I've been attending another 12-step fellowship, and I needed to go to that 12-step fellowship every single day as well, yeah, because it's helping me not just to shift the resentment, but it's also helping me to come out of the isolation, and it's also helping me to hear the message, because I need to keep hearing the message as well. So it's actually working for me on many different levels, because I kind of notice that, okay, I write my step 10, I make my amends if I need to, I put it through the columns, but also, what else am I doing? What other action am I taking? And the actions that I need to take is go to meetings, to listen to the message, and to share. Because my thing is, for me, when I'm working my program, when I'm getting it out there, really out there, either in a meeting or sharing it with someone, and putting it, the resentment, putting the light on it, as I call it, it has less of an effect on me. I'm not harbouring it so much, because I'm putting it out there, and it almost, if you like, for me, I hear the voice becomes so much more quieter. And also, it's good for me to go to meetings and get identification. Think, yeah, I do that, or I think about that. And, yeah, that's the kind of thing. And that's my disease. I can see that. And that's really helping me, particularly at this very difficult time for me, a lot, to really stay on top of my program. And for me, the step 10 is, at the moment, things are really tough. So I need to work a tougher program. It's as easy as that, yeah? Things are tough, work it a bit harder. What are my character defects in this? What is it that I'm doing, you know? Why is it that I always want things to go my way? You know, why am I doing this? You know, let me look at my self-seeking. In my self-seeking, I'm defined by what people think about me. I couldn't care less what they think about me, but I'm doing that in my character defects. My dishonesty, you know, I'm not being honest, and I'm fearful, and I'm almost making the person, place, thing, making them my higher power, and looking at that stuff a bit more, yeah? So that I don't get... Because if I keep on doing this, and I've done this, you know, way back in the past, listen to the disease more, which is doing press-ups in the next room, and the next thing I know, I'm back in the food, yeah? Because I kind of stepped back away from it, and I wasn't taking my step 10 seriously, yeah? And I need to take my step 10 seriously. This is what keeps me on top of my game. And I don't want to get up at 7 o'clock and ring the sponsor. I don't. I really don't. I want to be under that duvet, nice and cosy. But I set that alarm, and I get up, and I pick up my book, and I read that step 10 to my sponsor, because I need to. And then we agree that I'll ring her the next day, yeah? Because I need to. Because this is what's going to keep me well, yeah? This is what's going to keep me from going back to the food. Because I could quite easily do that. I could quite easily say, I can't be bothered today. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to ring her, or I missed the slot, and I don't need it. Because that's my disease. You don't need it. You're fine. And it starts to unravel. Yeah? And it can unravel for me quite quickly. So, I also look at the step 10. It goes on to say... And this is where I think this is really important for me. And we have at the bottom of page 84. And we've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, food. For by this time, sanity would have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor, food. And if we're tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor, food, has been given to us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It doesn't exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. This is our experience. This is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And that's another thing. I have to keep up that fit spiritual condition every single day. So I get up in the morning, I read from the bottom of page 86 in this book where it says on awakening. I do a bit of meditation, I do my prayers, and I surrender my will and my life to my higher power. I am not directing the show. However, me being me, yes, I'm going to take my will back, but I keep remembering I'm not in charge. And when the going gets tough, I put in the footwork and I step out of the way and I hand it over to my higher power. Yeah, and I keep remembering that it's thy will, not mine, be done. You know, this is the path that I'm on. Yeah. For the majority of the time, when I'm not in self-will, because I can be sometimes, I'm asking my higher power to point me in the direction that my higher power wants me to go. Whatever it is. Sometimes I don't want to be pointed in that direction. But I'm open to say, higher power, show me what you need me to do. And it comes in many different forms. But I need to be, I recognise that when I'm more open to it and open to whatever that will be, my life just runs so much more smoothly than when I want to do it this way or I want that oh, I want this person to behave in that way, oh, I want this to go in a particular way. I'm back in self-will. But you know what? I recognise something. I am a compulsive overeater. I will always be compulsive. And I get a daily reprieve. And I'm, you know, I do this on a regular daily basis. This is how it works for me. Yeah? So, it goes on to say on page 85, it's easy to let up on the spiritual programme of action and rest on our laurels. Yeah? We are headed for trouble if we do. For alcohol, food is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism or compulsive eating. What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How best can I serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line, all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. So, it is the proper use of the will, you know. And when I calm down, and when I'm in that fit spiritual condition, and when I'm asking my higher power to show me the next right thing to do, things happen. The phone rings. Someone comes round. Something goes on, and my higher power's working. And I have to keep remembering to trust my higher power, because I have a plan, but my higher power's got a plan which is better than the one that I've got. And that's the thing I have to keep remembering, yeah? It's not my will, it's thy will be done, whatever that is. And for me, doing the step 10 is a constant reminder of that, yeah? Constant reminder that it's God's will. And to come out of the self-will and to keep looking at my part in things and to keep my side of the street just clean if I need to do so. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed the directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. And I get it about, I do my step 10, but also for me, this is a program of action. As I said, I was away from home, and there weren't hardly any OA meetings, but there were lots of another fellowship meetings. I had a whole book of them. So I just thought, you know what? Every single day, I'm going to find one of these meetings to go to. So I went, and I sat down, and I listened, to people's experience, strength and hope. People who'd been in the fellowship 20, 30 years, you know, hardliners who had had all types of different experience, strength and hope. And that was really good for me to keep hearing that message. That was my action for the day. Do my step 10, do my prayers, my meditation, do my step 10, read it to my sponsor, take the action and get to the meeting. Yeah. Finally, I was able to share, and it was a good thing to share and to get some identification in the rooms and just to be able to open up and get some support from the rest of the group. It was really interesting. I was on the bus. I was in Manchester. I was on the bus in the middle of nowhere. I didn't quite know where I was going. And there were two men at the back of the bus, and one of them was saying, oh, he says, I've been to these 12-step fellowships, they don't work. And I wanted to shout out, yes, they do! But, I mean, and maybe that was just my higher power saying to me, you need to get to that meeting. And I didn't quite know where I was, but it was good for me to hear that and then get to the meeting and remember, this works, and it works if I work it. So that's what I have to remember. Stop sitting at home, worrying, falling down the depressive hole, get up and work the program. And when I went to that meeting, this is what I kept hearing. I kept hearing people saying they'd been in and out of the fellowship, in this particular fellowship, been in and out of the program. They were going back to their drug of choice. It wasn't working because they weren't working the program. And then when they came to the program, they found that they were getting the recovery and their lives had turned around. So That also applies to me. It's no different. It's just a different drug of choice. Yeah. So doing the step 10 for me is also very vital, thank you, a very vital part of me working this program. And it's only going to work if I'm prepared to work it. Yeah. So it's like, okay, this morning, oh, what time is it? Yeah, the alarm goes off. Yeah, I've got to go downstairs. I've got to ring the sponsor. I've got to tell her my step 10. We've got to arrange another time for me to ring her tomorrow to do the step 10 again. And it's like, oh, can I be bothered? Well, if I can't be bothered, my disease will be. Yeah? So that's the deal. I'm either with God and working this program or I'm not. Yeah? And that is, for me, the most fundamental, crucial thing, is to keep on keeping on. Yeah. This is what I learnt when I was away. I didn't have the OA meetings, but I could get to a meeting, and that is what was saving me and doing the step 10s. And I'll leave it there. Thank you. Thank you.